The Truth About Angels, Chapter 3, Angels in Heaven Before the Rebellion. Christ as Creator God. Before men or angels were created, the Word was with God and was God. The world was made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. If Christ made all things, He existed before all things. The words spoken in regard to this are so decisive that no one need be left in doubt. Christ was God essentially, and in the highest sense. He was with God from all eternity, God over all, blessed forevermore. The Lord Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, existed from eternity, a distinct person, yet one with the Father. He was the surpassing glory of heaven. He was the commander of the heavenly intelligences, and the adoring homage of the angels was received by Him as His right. Through Solomon, Christ declared, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When He gave to the sea His decree, that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him, as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him." In speaking of His preexistence, Christ carries the mind back through dateless ages. He assures us that there never was a time when He was not in close fellowship with the eternal God. He had been with God as one brought up with Him. What is the work of angels in comparison with Christ's condescension? His throne is from everlasting. He has reared every arch and pillar in nature's great temple. Christ, the Word, the only begotten of God, was one with the eternal Father, one in nature, in character, and in purpose, the only being in all the universe that could enter into all the counsels and purposes of God. Before sin arose, God had a plan. God and Christ knew from the beginning of the apostasy of Satan and of the fall of Adam through the deceptive power of the apostate. The plan of salvation was designed to redeem the fallen race, to give them another trial. Christ was appointed to the office of mediator from the creation of God, set up from everlasting to be our substitute and surety. Known unto God are all His works, and from eternal ages the covenant of grace, unmerited favor, existed in the mind of God. It is called the everlasting covenant, for the plan of salvation was not conceived after the fall of man, but it was that which was kept in silence through times eternal, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, is made known unto all the nations unto obedience of faith. The plan for our redemption was not an afterthought, a plan formulated after the fall of Adam. It was a revelation of the mystery which hath been kept in silence through times eternal. It was an unfolding of the principles that from eternal ages have been the foundation of God's throne. God did not ordain that sin should exist, but He foresaw its existence and made provision to meet the terrible emergency. Creation of the angels. The Father wrought by His Son in the creation of all heavenly beings. By Him were all things created, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Before the creation of man, angels were in existence. For when the foundations of the earth were laid, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. After the fall of man, angels were sent to guard the tree of life, and this before a human being had died. angels are in nature superior to men. For the psalmist says that man was made a little lower than the angels. From eternal ages, it was God's purpose that every created being, from the bright and holy seraph to man, should be a temple for the indwelling of the Creator. All created beings live by the will and power of God. They are dependent recipients of the life of God. From the highest seraph to the humblest animate being, all are replenished from the source of life. When the Lord created these angelic beings to stand before His throne, they were beautiful and glorious. Their loveliness and holiness were equal to their exalted station. They were enriched by the wisdom of God and girded with the panoply of heaven. Creation of Lucifer. God made him, Lucifer, good and beautiful, as near as possible like himself. God had made him, Lucifer, noble, had given him rich endowments. He gave him a high, responsible position. He asked of him nothing that was unreasonable. He was to administer the trust given him of God in a spirit of meekness and devotion, seeking to promote the glory of God, who had given him glory and beauty and loveliness. Though God had created Lucifer noble and beautiful, and had exalted him to high honor among the angelic host, yet he had not placed him beyond the possibility of evil. It was in Satan's power, did he choose to do so, to pervert these gifts. Ellen White sometimes used prolepsis, i.e., speaking of something in the future, as if it had already happened. Here she referred to Lucifer as Satan, even though he had not yet rebelled. Since she used the two names, Lucifer and Satan, without making a distinction between them, this compilation has followed her usage. Lucifer's high position. Lucifer in heaven, before his rebellion, was a high and exalted angel, next in honor to God's dear Son. His countenance, like those of the other angels, was mild and expressive of happiness. His forehead was high and broad, showing a powerful intellect. His form was perfect, his bearing noble and majestic. A special light beamed in his countenance and shone around him brighter and more beautiful than around the other angels. Yet Christ, God's dear Son, had the preeminence over all the angelic host. He was one with the Father before the angels were created. Lucifer was the covering cherub, the most exalted of the heavenly created beings. He stood nearest the throne of God and was most closely connected and identified with the administration of God's government, most richly endowed with the glory of His majesty and power. The Lord Himself gave to Satan His glory and wisdom, and made him the covering cherub, good, noble, and exceeding lovely. Among the inhabitants of heaven, Satan, next to Christ, was at one time most honored of God, and highest in power and glory. Lucifer, the son of the morning, in glory surpassing all the angels that surround the throne, was united in closest ties to the Son of God. Lucifer, son of the morning, was first of the covering cherubs, holy and undefiled. He stood in the presence of the great Creator, and the ceaseless beams of glory enshrouding the eternal God rested upon him. He, Lucifer, had been the highest of all created beings, and had been foremost in revealing God's purposes to the universe. Before evil originated, peace and joy, in perfect submission to the will of heaven, existed throughout the angelic host. Love to God was supreme, love for one another impartial. Such was the condition that existed for ages before the entrance of sin. He, Lucifer, had a knowledge of the inestimable value of eternal riches that man did not possess. He had experienced the pure contentment, the peace, the exalted happiness and unalloyed joys of the heavenly abode. He had realized, before his rebellion, the satisfaction of the full approval of God. He had had a full appreciation of the glory that enshrouded the Father, and knew that there was no limit to his power. There was a time when it was his, Satan's, joy to execute the divine commands. His heart was filled with love and joy in serving his Creator. Satan was a beautiful, exalted angel, and would have remained so forever had he not withdrawn his allegiance from God.